bitch out in Hollywood, she hit me up just to see if I'm feeling good. Slide on a nigga, my pockets get bigger, and I got some shit that y'all never could. Shawty send me all them naked pictures, I ain't tripping on it cause you got a nigga. See you tryna subtweet on Twitter. Baby, get better, stop acting bitter. I need a shawty to be on my side while I steady and focus and ship. I got too many problems I can't even solve, and I need to feel like I exist. Where do my niggas be at when I post a little song and they pleading the fifth? You niggas know that I only show love, if I didn't, I'd probably admit.
Facts,
yeah, I'd probably admit. The ups on my head, they need a little tip. And it came with the dip. I'm talking about brand new for the
tip. Welcome back, Running Back the Hits. LeBron James' favorite music podcast since 2010. Thanks for tuning in. Youngs is here. How are you doing, bro?
Lee, can you do something for me?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Lee's doing the rich flex on me. He's drinking a Busch Light.
I'm in hell. I'm in hell right now. But yeah, it's all right.
If you can't tell, we're talking about her loss today. You know, Drake and 21's new collab.
Of course, we had to.
OVO check cleared.
Exactly. Yeah, we had to give it a few days, but check cleared. We're here to discuss. I feel like most people have had discussions about it now. It's Wednesday when we're doing this. A lot of publications have dropped their reviews. People have been talking, but we had to come through and drop a little review as well.
You can't spell discourse without Drake.
It's true.
Yeah. True. Every time he drops, there's some sort of conversation. Even though the last one was a lot more tame than this one sparked a lot of controversy and a lot of talk that we'll get into.
Yeah, I'd say almost by design. Like, it's definitely not a coincidence that coming off of Honestly Nevermind, which was pretty quiet. We talked about it on here. I'm a pretty big fan of the record, but mixed reception, to say the least. Mm-hmm. It's not a surprise that we come back with this album that just generates a lot of buzz, good and bad, you know, which we'll get into. But yeah, definitely no coincidence at all.
Oh, I guess that's my first question for you. Obviously, we both got to speculate because neither of us work in the music industry or know anything about Drake or 21. How do you think this project like came about? Do you think it came about because of Jimmy Crooks? Do you think it came about because Honestly Nevermind kind of got the reception it did? Just something they've always been planning to do? Well, what's your assumption?
You know, I think, and 21 has actually done an interview. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, so he might have got into how at least he says this thing came about. But I mean, obviously, you know, Jimmy Crooks comes out, it's a pretty big success, especially compared to everything else. I mean, it just makes sense for them. I feel like Drake and 21 have just consistently been good collaborators. I don't think they really have a lot of misses, especially before this. So I think it just made sense. Drake was like, shit, do you think we can bang this out really quick? Yeah, I think it makes sense for both artists because, you know, 21's been doing he's done the collab thing with Metro. We're kind of like still a little bit away from I Am Greater Than I Was, which is kind of the last solo.
We are pretty far away,
man. Yeah, which is kind of like the last, you know, solo 21 thing. I mean, it makes sense for both artists, I think. So I feel like Drake probably asked and 21 was like, yeah, we can bang this out. So I think that's kind of how it came about.
Yeah. So I mean, Drake does have a line, I forget which song, but on Her Loss, where he says, like, people are so ignorant, they were asking me why I'm doing techno.
Yeah.
And it seems like it was kind of his response to Honestly Nevermind. Like, he tends to do this thing where he gets something off his chest that he wants to do. Not that he's necessarily original in the ideas, but stuff like Afrobeats or wanting to do house music or like a house album or something. And then he goes back to the well to kind of like give people a reminder that he's still good at the rap stuff. Cause yeah, a lot of the conversation ends up being he's washed or this, that, and the third. And this seemed kind of like a response to that. Why he brought 21 Savage along with him, I'm not sure. It sounds like We'll get into the promo stuff, but one of the promotional things they did was Drake and 21 did like a live DJ set from some restaurant in Italy. And when they were there, Drake like kind of let split, like the tour is going to be crazy, bro. So it sounds like those two are going to be touring together, which is interesting because I believe the last time Drake toured was for Views, I want to say.
I mean, it's probably been around that time because I don't think he did a Scorpion tour. So, yeah, I think it would probably be around
that time. Well, he definitely didn't do the Scorpion tour because he found out about his kid. Exactly. And then COVID. So, yeah, I think Views is legit. And then the other ones weren't technically, what you call it again?
Like full tours. He was probably just doing.
Oh, okay. Never mind. He did in 2018 with the Migos. Aubrey and the Three.
Ah, yeah, yeah. I remember that. I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, he did his tours so far have been Drake versus Lil Wayne, Summer 16 tour with Future, Aubrey and the Three Amigos. Like he tends to want to do it with other people. Like he's had a few solo tours, but lately it's been him doing it with other people. So for him to want to bring 21 along makes sense. And I guess that's kind of why they end up doing this collab together. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a very strange collab to me. It's kind of the point I'm getting at. But
I mean, I think, I mean, on paper, I was pretty intrigued. I was like, obviously, they make good records together before, in my opinion. I think their styles mesh pretty good. So I was like, okay. I mean, we'll talk about it when we get into the songs. It's a lot more of a Drake project than a Drake and 21 project. 21 is really just kind of scattered around a lot. I think his influence is felt a lot more than he like speaks, but it. It's not a 50-50 split for sure.
He's parsing on top of a Drake rap album here.
That
was the first bullet point I had that I wanted to talk about, and glad you brought that up. Like, it's very clearly Drake is doing a lot of the work. A lot of these songs sound like Drake songs with 21 on it, which I mean, there's a few exceptions obviously, but yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I like a lot about 21, especially later in his career. He's kind of more open to trying different sounds and stuff. And I thought he did extremely well, like, bouncing around on these.
I mean, yeah, he adapts very well. There are definitely certain songs. Spin About You immediately comes to mind where he's really just writing a Drake verse. Like, everything he says in Spin About You, he almost could have just, like, given the verse to Drake. Like, it sounds just like a lot of shit Drake would say, even kind of like the off-key singing, which I thought was like kind of charming. A lot of that on this album, I think.
But I like the production on Spin About You reminds me of something 21 would do.
Yep.
It's like something off Savage Mode too. So it's kind of that like mix. I see what you're saying though. Like definitely the writing on there. We'll talk about some of the writing on some of these songs.
Yeah.
I really think there's a lot of bullshit out here.
I will say this on both parties. Like 21 just he gets away with people not liking Drake, so Drake can just kind of be like, man, Drake has got some trash ass bars on here. There's definitely some times where 21 is also kind of coasting along as well, like that fucking how when I go into the club I don't even show ID, people always know I'm 21 line. I heard that and I was maybe the worst 21 Savage bar I've ever heard. Like he has some bad ones on here too, but
would not be surprised if this was put together in like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
especially if it wasn't even mixed and mastered before they gave a release date like that. I know that's typically not really how rappers work, but
I think some people have kind of questioned the validity of that if 40 really had COVID. I guess they I don't know if they wanted to like drop with Taylor Swift, but I don't know. Either way it was probably made in like a very short amount of time. I don't know if any of these songs were like, I don't know how many songs were finished like pre Jimmy Cooks, I guess I should say. I feel like all this shit kind of came pretty quick for sure.
General thoughts on what's your overall take on this?
Okay, real quick. I know we talk anticipation before, like, but like, were you expecting something really good? Were you kind of expecting nothing?
So the conversation I think me and you had, I think it was on the show. I hope it was on the show. If not, little background, but like what we talked about mostly was the expectation of like what we want from a collab album. Yep. And we talked about that at least on the show. And really what I wanted was Drake and 21 make a lot of good music together. Jimmy Cooks is probably the only song they've done together that I'm pretty indifferent on. Besides that, I listen to the rest of their stuff together a lot. They work well off each other in a way that's like interesting, because I feel like Drake tries to do similar stuff with Future, but it doesn't really work as well. And I think Drake tries to do similar stuff with Ross, and I think it works really well with Ross. And like his collabs, they never make sense to me. The ones that work never make sense to me, and the ones that you think would work do. And him and 21 fall in that like category where I don't think their fan bases have a whole lot of overlap, and yet they still make shit together that sounds great. So the main concern was like length of songs and like the effort put in. Thank God this wasn't 20 plus. This wasn't like a Lil Baby and Dirk collab album.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as short as some of the other stuff. Like, it wasn't as short as I wanted. I wanted it to be about 10 songs. And what ends up happening is I cut it down to about 9 songs, 35 minutes. Like,
yeah,
I got exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, I saw 16 songs in an hour, and that made me nervous immediately. Coming in, I didn't have a ton of expectations. That really made it worse. I saw that and I was like, this is gonna be a lot to get through. I'm just we've heard so much Drake in the past like year, 18 months. CLB, yeah. Honestly, never mind. Like, we've heard so much. It's something I'll get to at the end, but I do not want to hear Drake for like a long time after this. But
yeah, if they tour, I don't think we're gonna hear anything for a while.
Yeah. So yeah, expectations that kind of hurt it, but yeah, we can get into it a little bit now. I the reception of this project, I feel like it's generally been pretty good. I feel like it's been pretty warmly received outside of like Choice Words, which we'll get to. But I think compared to most, I'm a little down on this, mainly because I really enjoyed Honestly Nevermind. I really feel like that could have been like the last Drake contribution for 2022. And people, like, something that people have been talking about with this album a lot is like how like misogynistic it is or whatever, and how that's kind of like a very intentional. I think this is the closest Drake has ever been to having his back against the wall, really. And for him to respond to that with like some of this stuff, it kind of like sours it for me. Like, I will say I like a lot of the beats. I think the beats are made really well, and the connection between Drake and 21 is really good. Like, I love on the intro, like him kind of hyping 21 up. It even gives me like older hip. It reminds me of like some older hip hop shit, kind of like just hyping up the MC before they get on. The way they like stack their vocals on some songs, I think is dope. I think their connection is actually great, but like there's not a ton on here that I really needed. Like, but there's not a lot of bad songs either. Like what are your highlights? Like, what are the songs you really, really like gravitated towards?
So the ones I did really like, Pussy and Millions is my favorite on here, minus the Travis Scott feature, which I guess I can go on my little rant now. Done with Travis Scott features. Just fucking, I'm done with all of them. I'm so tired of them. Like, I know it's coming every time. You know the beat switch is coming, and you know you're going to get that Travis Scott sound. Doesn't matter if it fits with the rest of the song or not. It's just such a fucking waste. It's the only feature on here. So yep. It even makes it like even more confusing of why it's on here. Like, really just like unexplainable. It drives me crazy. But the first half of the song, his verse, 21's verse, really strong. The hook is crazy. I mean, there's the beat drop in between.
Yep.
Like, definitely a highlight. I mean, the main pocket here that I really go back to the most is from Circo Loco to Jumbotron Shit. Is there a song yet? Hold on.
Jumbotron Shit Poppin' is an interesting record that I actually like. Like, I think it's dope too. Obviously, you kind of hear like that clear kind of Playboy Cardi influence. He even talks about like being a vamp and shit. Cardi and Uzi, they're kind of influences kind of shown on a couple songs. And I'm always surprised that Drake and Uzi didn't like make more music. I don't know. That's just like a weird thing in my mind that I think would work. Him and Cardi had that one leaked track. I don't think they ever came out.
But, no, they dropped one on Dark Lane Demos.
They had a track. So yeah, I thought that was kind of super cool to see that their influence was making its way to like a Drake and 21 project. And yeah, I like Jumbotron shit as well. I think it's super dope.
Yeah, I mean, Drake says that he kisses himself on the mirror. He's too conceited on Jumbotron shit. Like, there's always shit that's kind of popping around. That's kind of why I'm down on this one. Listen, I mean, I've waxed poetic on here plenty of times about CLB. I think it's very clear, like, when you compare the two on how serious he took Certified Lover Boy in the raps on there and like how he like carefully picked every line. And I think there are times here you can tell he did. And then there are songs like I like Back Outside Boys. I said that's the biggest upset of the year is that song's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's written like shit. Like it's terrible. I was listening to it in the car this morning and I was like, what the fuck is he saying? Like, why?
Yeah, man. I feel like, and I don't think it will happen, but I really wish that this project would make people appreciate CLB and Honestly Nevermind more. CLB especially. Because I just like look at that and just how CLB was received is still so weird to me. I've seen some people kind of come around on it, especially critically, which is funny. I've seen some people be like, actually CLB was like not that bad. But yeah, this one, it's, and I was just surprised how quick it caught on with people. I think a big part of that is because I think it starts off really good. Like, I think the first handful of songs are pretty good.
On this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest issue with Rich Flex is there's three different beats on there. Like, I really don't like beat switches, if you guys can't.
And Drake fucking loves them. Like, Drake loves beat switches right now. And I mean, yeah, I'm pretty impartial on it. Like,
well, it needs to make sense for me. For you to just do a three-part song in the sense of just like wanting to do a three-part song kind of annoys me. Takes me out a lot. But yeah, it starts off really aggressive, really like 21 centric, I think. And then we kind of move over to the Drake stuff as we get later in the album. But the issue is, like, as I'm saying, it's 21 centric. It doesn't have enough 21.
That's, yep.
Like, it's not like two 21 verses and then a Drake verse. It's, they're still doing one verse each and Drake is still doing the hook instead of 21. But they're over 21 sounding songs, Slaughter Gang sounding songs.
Yeah, I think this album just has a huge identity crisis. Like you said, there are these heavily 21 influence moments where it's almost like 21 should just have the song to himself and maybe Drake does like a hook or something and you still might only get a short 21 verse or like a bridge or something. And then there are these songs that are like the some of the solo Drake cuts, especially the longer ones. What's that one song? I think it's Hours in Silence kind of comes to mind. It's like 6.5 minutes of just Drake. There are a couple of those
songs. I listened to that song once and never went back to it, to be honest with you.
Some of those songs, and I actually enjoy like some of that stuff. I think it just is weird in this album. It doesn't really belong. Even though I do like some of those songs, it brings me back to kind of like some of the classic Drake introspection, kind of like bringing the veil behind the curtain of like how actually like sad he is. But yeah, some of them, they just don't belong. And yeah, I think that's the main thing with this album. It just has like a really big identity crisis. It has no idea what it is. I mean, it's fitting that that would be like a Drake project identity crisis, but yeah, I don't know, man. Like,
what's your, so yeah, let's get the negatives out of the way. Let's just do that before we start hitting praises. What are some songs on here you didn't like or didn't really like connect with you? Are there any that you hate?
I mean, yeah, if we're just doing like a negative thing, I will say first, the idea of giving 21 a time location track is pretty interesting in theory, especially on a Drake 21 collab album.
Yeah.
It didn't really work that great for me. I liked what 21 was saying. I kind of like, he was like pouring like shit out. He kind of adapted to the time location song model, but it just didn't do a lot for me. I was just like, this is kind of unnecessary. Like the one solo 21 song is this and not some of these other beats where he really would have like went crazy. So not a huge fan of that one. More M's is another one, the song right before it, I'm not a huge fan of. That's the one where Drake has that fucking I ran shit. You think I was Iranian? not a huge fan of that one. Treacherous Twins is like, it's such a weird song because, and people have talked about it, talking about this album, they're like, is this song about a woman or is this song about 21? Like, I have no idea. And I'm not a huge Treacherous Twins fan.
Yeah, Treacherous Twins and Hours in Silence are just two I completely skip every time I'm running. Like, I've run this back a few times and I just don't have any desire to listen to either of those.
Hours in Silence is one I will say I actually kind of like, but it's one of those, okay, this is like a solo Drake song that it just doesn't belong there. Like, I would almost like if he dropped that song kind of like how he did with Diplomatic Immunity, just kind of like throw it out for people to hear. But on this album, it just doesn't make sense. So yeah, those are, I mean, and then of course, actually, well, before I get to that, Spin About You is a song that I should really enjoy. You know, you get the classic.
Like, before I was like, you mentioned some stuff, like I'm kind of cool with more M's and stuff, but nah, Spin By You is definitely a highlight for me. Let me hear the negative.
It's one that I should like, right? Like, the R&B sample is great. You get 21, like I said, doing this like really cute off-key singing, like the shit he does when he's on IG Live.
yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's like a lot of the shit they're saying, like Drake has the bar about like, and it's funny, like with this whole like misogynistic kick that Drake is on here, like his one offering to women is like, yo, that Roe v. Wade shit was crazy, huh? Like that's his one offering to women. And like, I love hearing that line. It just audibly kind of made me groan. But if someone played it, I wouldn't be mad because I really, really love that beat and the sample. So yeah.
I think 21's flowing crazy on it. I think he attaches to this like some prime 21 shit. But like you said, some of the lyrics, the first time I heard this, I started playing the album at midnight on Thursday and I was listening to it. I was getting a little tired and like, eventually I was going to cut it off. Right. And then I get to fuck your main page. What's your finish song? I want to know the real you. And I just hit pause and close the music app. I was like, I'll listen to this in the morning.
I mean, yeah. And that was kind of, I mean, I will give kind of kudos to 21 because that's part of him kind of just like adapting to the Drake collab of it all. Yeah. Like, that's a very Drake inspired line.
Drake's got some, yeah, Drake's got some like weird stuff on here. Like the videos we got ever leak, we going viral or going platinum. And I'm like, all right, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a ton of like that. And it's not really supposed to be here, but kind of like that vintage Drake that sometimes we even talk about that we like, that he gives to fans, like kind of older fans on every album. There will usually be like a song or two. There's not a ton of that here. And if it is there, it doesn't really fit. So, yeah.
I think Middle of the Ocean.
I like Middle of the Ocean. I think Middle of the Ocean is actually...
Middle of the Ocean is one of the better songs on here, and that's a Drake-only one. And that one's the, like... I mean, he said it on Sandra's Rose on Scorpion. He said they said they want a classic that's just 10 of these.
Yeah.
Whenever he wants, he just kind of gets in that mode and gives you like, I mean, Middle of the Ocean's a 6-minute song. He's just rapping for the whole fucking thing.
By the way, I would have really loved Ross on that song, like a lot. I would have loved if Ross was on there.
I wish he just did an album with Ross. Like, honestly, but
they talk about that like it's gonna happen.
The reason I don't think it'll happen is because I don't think Drake wants to do
10 songs of Middle of the Ocean.
Yeah.
That's really what it is, because he knows if he does, like, Middle of the Ocean is for rap fans who also hate him. It's you know what I mean? Like, it's like to appease a crowd that doesn't like him and is not going to listen anyways.
Yeah.
And then there's a little bit of a Venn diagram. I if Lee wants to put himself in there, he can. But like with me, that likes both Drake and likes that rap shit. So
yeah, of course.
He meets in the middle, and I like that stuff. So he knows that doesn't sell, and he knows that doesn't get on the radio and doesn't get plays. So he makes the Jumbotron shit. He makes the Spin About You. He makes the Back Outside Boys and all that stuff for the streams and for all that. But if he wanted to lock down for 10 songs with Ross, he could do 10 Middle of the Oceans.
Yeah. And I don't know if we ever get to the era of Passion Project Drake. Like, I don't know if that would ever happen. I mean, we just got Honestly Nevermind, which was of a similar vein. I don't know if he's kind of just on this. I think he even called it like one for me, one for them, where he's just kind of doing that kind of deal.
Yeah,
but yeah, Middle of the Ocean is one of those that made me just think of that. It did have this Serena husband line, though. That shit was tough. I was like, nah,
just that, unnecessary. Just yeah. Like mad unnecessary.
I was like, no fucking way. Like, call someone like, yo, yeah.
The only reason he said it by name too is because he's white. I'm telling you. Like, he usually dance around that shit. He does not like flat out say.
And the fact that he was like, yo, sidebar is insane. Sidebar, yo. And your husband's a groupie. I was just like, that's pretty crazy.
It was crazy. It's like, her husband founded Reddit, right?
Yeah.
And he's probably, like, I shouldn't say probably. He is rich as shit. And he's rich enough to be, like, in the same places as Drake. And probably what he did is him and Serena ran into Drake, and he probably just said hello like a normal person. Yeah. He's like, your husband's a groupie. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that shit was tough. But yeah, I mean, I got to go ahead and get in the Circle of Loco, because not to get on like a fucking high horse. Like, my thing, and we're just here, so we'll do it now. Like, my thing with Circle of Loco, I'm not like a huge fan of the track as it is. I remember I didn't listen to this album for the first time until like Saturday afternoon, so I had already heard about the line. The first time I heard Circle Loco, I actually didn't even notice. I had played the song through and I was like, wait, that's the song with the Meg line. So I went back and played it again and I heard it. But I'm not a huge fan of the track as is. I don't love the Daft Punk flip there. I do love his kind of interpolation at the end, kind of like how 21 was on Spin About You. I think it's just kind of like cute when rappers sing bad sometimes. But I mean, like, my Circle Loco thing, it kind of just goes back to with what I was saying about this whole album, where he's coming off too critical and kind of duds the way people are looking at it. His back's kind of against the wall. And like, this is what he decided to do in that moment. It was just super weird to me. Like, it was like, obviously it was very unnecessary. It puts a stain on the whole project to me. Like, it just makes me not want to listen to any of it at that point, because it just seems so calculated. Everything about it just seems calculated in a really, really like bad way. And yeah, I don't know. It seemed like it was just, he was like, I want to make an album for like fucking DJ Academics or some shit. Like, that's what Circle Loco and like this whole project makes me think of. It's like, what is DJ Academics gonna fucking tweet that he loves to his fans?
But I'm not gonna lie, I love this song.
People love the song, like, and like, man, I think it's the song that everyone likes the most, honestly.
And I think it would be getting crazy airplay if it wasn't for that line.
I agree with that too.
Which is not great. Not going to defend it. Not going to sit and give excuses. Like, I hear it, I cringe, and I kind of just like move on as I listen to it. But it's not, yeah. There's there's shit like that on a lot of rap albums. And again, like, you know how we say Ross needs someone that tells him no, like Drake needs someone that tells him. Drake needed someone to tell him no about that Meg line, and he needed someone to tell him no not to say purr on a hook.
Yeah, and like, I don't try to, I'm not a huge fan of the whole like he's 36 element of Drake, because it's something that we talked about on COB. Like, this is a very like emotionally stunted man. So it's like, I don't want to hear like fucking, I don't know. I don't know what people want to hear from Drake. Like, what I liked about CLB is there was like truth in that like emotional fragility. Mm-hmm. And this, it just seems so fucking like manufactured and stuff.
Yeah, it's childish. It's a lot more childish on this.
Yeah.
And yeah, not more like what we talked about with CLB is like emotionally stunted man who's still kind of true to himself and like honest when he's talking, and manufactured's a good word, while this is just like childish.
Yeah.
Like, joking.
And I will say that's the only thing that made me get into like the he's 36 of it all, because like, you should know that that's probably a bad idea to say that line. Like, it's just it makes my mind go through like, how many ears did this go through? Like, was there a woman who heard this song before it came out? Like, it just makes me like think all those scenarios.
We don't have to dive into this. It's clearly upset a lot of people. I also do think there's an element of Twitter is in a real place.
So. Yeah, 100%. And I mean, there's the whole...
But it definitely sounds like there are people in real life that are also like, dude, that was not cool.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, okay, this is it, I promise. But like, there's... I don't even know if I want to say this, but I feel like there is this kind of like... Sometimes something you just hear the way some people talk, like in like the music industry, I feel there is from men mainly, but there does seem to kind of be this idea that like maybe there is more to this story that like the general public doesn't know. Even if like Drake is part of that group who knows that information, because I've seen some people like say that, like maybe he knows more than we do. Like, we don't know that. So to put that line out, it's still just super irresponsible. And not smart, and just not a good thing to do, like just generally. But I mean, like people are enjoying the track. People are liking the track. I'm kind of in the minority. It's interesting to me because I would have kind of liked some of that energy on Honestly Nevermind. Like, I would have loved maybe like the Daft Punk flip on some kind of
For sure. And that's kind of something I was hoping for. I mean, we got it with Sticky a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he wanted to dive in and give a verse on every one of those Honestly Nevermind tracks, who knows?
If
that's the evolution he wants to make, it seems like he really likes it. I mean, they did. So I guess we can dig a little into. I should apologize. Yeah, let's dig into it. I got duped. Last episode
the promo.
We talked a little bit about the promo and like how they did a Vogue cover, and I was saying that they've been planning this for a while because they did a Vogue cover and they did an interview and all this stuff. I didn't verify that the Vogue cover was real or not. I just saw that the Vogue cover, and I saw like fake articles and I saw fake stuff. They were misinformation runs crazy, and I clearly fell for that shit.
Interesting rollout, kind of like a fake rollout. You know, they did the fake color show, they did the fake Howard Stern thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I actually did like that. I thought it was it kind of just lends itself to the whole quirky, this kind of came out of nowhere aspect of the project. And yeah, I think it was a good touch for sure.
Yep. And they got fake Cartier advertisement, a fake Tiny Desk introduction. The Howard Stern thing was a deep fake, which is a little terrifying.
Yeah, that was one that kind of confused me about it being fake, because I saw it and I was like, well shit, that's real. So it's like, is some of this fake, is some of it real? Like, but yeah, no, that was fake
too. Yeah, I mean, like, well my assumption is they just called up Howard Stern and were like, can we like stage an interview for 10 minutes? Like, we don't, like, I know you probably want us on your show, but we can't really do that. Can we like sneak an interview and just like cut out a clip type thing?
Yeah.
And they did like the Saturday Night Live. They did the Colors. I don't know. Did you watch the Saturday Night Live or the Colors thing?
Yeah, I watched both. I've seen. I think.
Why did Drake do that shit with his hands, bro? He said purr.
No, I couldn't believe this. That made me
so mad. And then he did it twice, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
I could not believe that. But yeah, super like interesting piece of promo. I thought it was actually like very fun. And I think Drake has been pretty good at that throughout his career in a lot of ways. I think of like the old Apple commercials and shit like that. Like it's something that he's been pretty good at. I thought it was kind of fun seeing 21 in that element too. Like if anything, I hope this kind of proves 21's star power and like elevates him even a little bit for his next, you know, solo endeavor. Because, you know, we're both 21 fans. We love 21. So yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a mutual thing on this project for sure.
I will say something about 21. I think he was having a rough week because he had a lot of lines of girls on their period not being able to have sex with him throughout the album.
Bro.
All over the place. Why are you coming over at 1 a.m. to sit at the edge of the bed?
Let's talk about the Drake misogyny. I think the one that like really hit me when he was like, just like he was, what did 21 say? He was like, "I'll like wipe my dick with your bra." That shit, I gasped because I was like, "Yo," I was like, "What if that's like the like her good bra for real? Like the one?" And I was like, "That might have been the most misogynistic line on it."
Yeah, she put on her finest set.
Yeah,
and then he just ruined it.
He had a couple of other lines for sure.
he had some funny shit. He said, "Suck it in the car. That's what the tits for."
Yeah, bro. Yeah, I was that two sticks the Wii line.
Yeah,
that shit was fire.
This is all the same. So I'm pretty sure this is just Pussy and Millions.
Yeah,
yeah, which is just I already said my favorite track. Like,
yeah,
nuts.
Yeah, one of my favorites too.
And then probably the hardest I laughed, I keep bringing it up because it's so fun, it makes me cry laughing every time, is on Broke Boys, where Drake is just mad as shit the dude bought a house instead of a house. He's like, imagine if I did that stupid shit when I was coming home. I was like, bro.
Oh, the fuck you doing?
He said dumb and went and bought a house when he could have bought a verse. Dumb as fuck. Imagine if I did that stupid shit when I was coming up.
Offended. Oh my god.
That funniest line out there.
But yeah,
man. How do you feel about like privilege?
Privilege rappers. I like privilege rappers. I was surprised that it was the song they picked for the Colors thing. I do like it.
Like that actually the color stuff always surprises me. They picked the one like I'm never thinking about.
yeah but no, I like the track a lot. It's like it kind of reminds me of like a stereotypical Drake beat. I like his content, and it's something that I like when you think about it. It is kind of a good point that he's making, like from when Drake came out to the point where he is now, not many people are still like standing, definitely not at his level to do that. He's had to adapt and, you know, borrow, take some sounds, like do all these things throughout the years to still be here. It takes work. Like
we're 8 years removed from Tuscan Leather, where he said, in 10 years we'll see who's still talking from now.
Yeah, even like
I remember, like in 2 years he's gonna fall off a cliff.
Yeah, like I remember how big of a shift If You're Reading This was for Drake. And I feel like since then, he's taken like 4 or 5 more that were just even crazier. So, I mean, yeah, I do have to salute it's one of the moments where I'm like, damn, I kind of do like salute your grind a little bit, because you do kind of make a point there. And that was actually like an interesting moment in the album. So, yeah, I like Privileged Rappers a lot. I think it's a dope track.
I'm not sure if it's Privileged Rappers, but he's got a brag on the album that I really liked, where he was like, you do a song with me and labels think they have to sign you.
Yeah.
Like that's a crazy flex.
Yeah. And I think I actually like the back and forth with 21, because 21, I think he said it before or after, he was like, I do a feature and people think it's my song. And then Drake was like, I do a feature and people like think you're art. People like think you're like that. You have that, like labels think you have value. And yeah. I thought that was interesting. Just kind of them, Drake kind of like this vet talking about his status in 21, like talking about that hunger. Drake was that guy at a point. Drake does a feature on your song. It's his fucking song. So yeah. I like that kind of just like juxtaposition of where they are. I love that. Like,
yeah. I mean, I also like they be full of excuses, acting like they taking their time.
Yeah.
Hate a privileged rapper that ain't had a hit since he been signed. Like he, yeah. That's the type of subliminals you kind of want from Drake.
Yeah.
Very vague, but whoever he's talking about clearly hears that he's talking about them.
Yeah. And it like, I really do have to give it up for him because it's one of the few times where I look at the content and I just like really appreciate Drake as an artist. That doesn't happen like a ton anymore for me. So I do, and it didn't happen like any other time on this album. So I do have to salute him for, you know, kind of having that on there because I thought it was good.
Yeah. Do we want to wrap up? What's your top three on here?
Ooh, top three. I would say On BS. I love On BS.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I like On BS a lot. Love the energy on that. Weirdly enough, I'm actually going to throw Hours in Silence on there. Like I said, it fits weird with the rest of the songs in the album, but I think Solo, I'm actually going to return to it a lot. And let me think for the third. I don't know, put Pussy in Millions for sure. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Pussy in Millions is great.
I'm going to do Pussy in Millions, Spin About You, and I'm going to go Middle of the Ocean. Yeah. Jumbotron Shit Popping is real close.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to go Middle of the Ocean, Pussy in Millions, and Spin About You.
One more thing, I guess. Like, what do you, I mean, obviously they're talking tour, but music wise, what are you thinking from both of these guys next? Like, I said at the top, I don't want to hear a Drake project, song, or feature in 2023. Like,
yeah, I think a Drake break would not be a bad idea. I think the last three, I'm like, as long as me and Lee have been doing the show, I've been viewed as like the Drake super fan. I honest to God was not as high on the stuff he's been doing lately outside of the last three, and I'm not even that high on like Honestly Nevermind. I mean, when we did that talk, that was mostly you and our good friend Roby kind of giving it its props. Like I'm pretty indifferent about it. This one, I enjoy some stuff. I'm pretty indifferent about it. But like his last three have been successful in my eyes. CLB is like was my favorite album of last year, and it's one of my top three favorite Drake albums. I still play it a lot.
Same.
So if he wants to take a break, kind of think through some things before he gives us another Dark Lane demo or a Scorpion or a Views or something, I'd be more than happy. Doesn't sound like he is. It sounds like kind of a point in his life based on what, I mean, parasocial relationships or whatever. We obviously don't know him, but he seems to be like stepping out in the limelight a little more than he was, let's say, 3 years ago.
Yeah. And I think like a big part of him kind of flooding, he's off of that Cash Money deal. He talks on major distribution, how he just apparently inked a really big new deal. So I do feel like there's probably that urge to just like put a lot of shit out. He's probably making more money just off the music side of things.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would hurt for Drake to take a break. Because I will say also, Drake has been around a long time. You can be gone in a second pretty easily nowadays.
Well, so fast.
So
faster than ever before.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm kind of cool. I would be cool with him just taking a seat for a second. I think building some anticipation would not hurt for a Drake record.
Yeah, and if they do tour, I think like people are really underestimating how big a Drake tour would be right now. A Drake and 21 tour would do fucking numbers.
Yeah.
And it would, yeah, it would be a pretty big deal. So
yeah, worldwide, I assume.
Yep. If they do a tour, that'll kind of take him out of the studio for like a year, might tire him out for another 6 months before he decides to hop back in. So really hoping he does that.
Yeah.
Now more from the 21 side of things, that's where things get interesting. Cause like we said, his last two albums have been collab albums, even though Savage Mode 2 is more like not really a collab album because it's a producer.
Right.
But super interested in seeing where he goes, always clamoring for some new 21. He didn't really do too much on this. Like, it doesn't seem like he got a whole lot of ideas out there. So I think he's got a lot left in the tank.
100%. Yeah.
So if he, again, like, if this tour is real and Drake is going to treat it as a CLB, honestly, never mind her loss type of tour, that means 21 is going to have to bring something else to the table if he wants to be co-headliner and not opener. Yeah. So expecting something soon from 21, that's what I'll say. I think he's got something in the tank for us.
Yeah, I would love that, man. I think 21 is really one of those guys who doesn't get enough credit when we talk about the next generation. I think, you know, we go to like Babies, Gunna, of course, was there. Tyler, even though he's a little bit of an older statesman,
he drops more sparsely. And that's, I think that's the big part of it.
Yeah.
He doesn't do like crazy amount of features. He doesn't necessarily have a pocket of people the same way Baby and Gunna do, I feel like. I feel like his pocket of people is like Metro. You see him work with Metro a lot, and then you see him work with Nudie, and there are a few people he works with, but he hasn't formed like a collective where you see a Gunna album and you know Lil Baby's going to be on there.
Yeah. Or
you see Roddy Ricch, you know Future's going to be on there. Like, I don't know who to attach that with 21 at this point.
Yeah, he's an interesting one where there's so much star power, but there isn't as much music. So there is always a little volatility with that, but shit. He just did a Drake collab. He was on the Khaled album. Like, he was on Calvin Harris's project. Like, he's done like so much big stuff. He's a really big star. I think the music, he just doesn't have as much of an identity with it yet. So yeah, I'm excited for whatever 21 does next. And I hope it does come sooner rather than later, for sure.
I mean, to me, he was a completely different artist 6 years ago. He was someone I didn't
absolutely
really do because I wasn't really that big of a fan of his music. And it took a while for him to, I mean, not that he was doing it for me, but it took him a little bit to grow musically to a place where I became a big fan. And I'm a huge fan of 21 now. And I've always listened to whatever he puts out from this moment on. But like, he's a completely different rapper than he was years ago. So
100%.
That's like, also a part of it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's a guy who also underwent kind of like this evolution, you know, even from like the early Slaughter Gang shit. Like, Slaughter King, I think, was the kind of the first one that I went back to and heard and really enjoyed. But yeah, even comparing like Slaughter King to I Am Greater Than I Was, like, super different shit. I think he's found a way to make bigger stuff, but still stay true to his artistry. So. Yeah, I think 21 is one of those guys who's going to be around, man. He's going to be around. Great personality. Like, he's just a star. So, yeah, whatever he does, I'm excited for it.
Yeah. I guess, Lee, you got any music you want to shout out, what you've been listening to lately?
Well, I've been playing this a lot, getting ready for this. This weekend is a pretty good release weekend. WizKid's coming. Destin Conrad is coming as well. He was talked about him on the very first episode we did of this, actually. Big fan of his. He's coming out on Friday. As far as for last week, Coco Jones, man. Like, I've been talking about a lot of R&B projects this year, and you know, and it, like, it's tough to say it for me because I'm a little biased with where I am with the genre, but it is. I don't think we've had a year like this from women in R&B in a very, very long time. Like, I could have just a list of the like 10, 20 best R&B projects from the women this year. And Coco Jones added another one. Short project, it's only like 7-ish songs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, really, really good. Like, legit, I don't think there's a
miss. 7 songs, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I love it. Very like progressive, but still, like, if you love 2000s R&B, if you love late 90s R&B, I think you'll enjoy it. So Yeah, man. Check out that Coco Jones. Still playing the Smedo a lot. Very glad for the reception he's getting. He was just on he was on Fallon, I think. So happy for Smedo, man. Like, the reception of this one is great. I think he's actually kind of turning a corner. I think he's gonna get bigger than even I thought he ever could. So yeah. Still playing the Smedo as well.
Yeah. Obviously been listening to Her Loss a lot. Weirdly, like the last 2 days, I dove into T Shine. He's part of YSL.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember him, he dropped an album this year called Confetti Nights. It came out earlier in the year, but I just found it. So I spun that a little bit. Been spinning the Spino a lot. As we were recording, I had a friend talking to me about the Spino. He's just getting to it. So, like you said, like, he's turning a corner, getting pretty big. Out of the rap and R&B space, the band Phoenix, they're a French band. They dropped an album that they recorded at the Louvre. They built them a studio, and in 10 days they recorded this entire album in the Louvre. It's about,
oh, wow.
Yeah. It's about 10 songs, 35 minutes, really fucking good, especially if you're into that kind of music. They had those two big hits, like early 2010s, 2009, it actually came out, 1901 and Listomania. I think their album Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, like, real big one. So yeah, they dug into that, I guess. Got a lot of catching up to do for 2022. We're getting to the end of the year stuff. Lee's looking at me.
Yeah, man. I'm even saying to myself, I got a lot of shit I got to hear too. So
yeah, so gonna start digging into that stuff. Not really sure what me and Lee got for you guys next week, but we'll think of something soon, and
yeah,
hopefully be back on your airwaves.
Yeah, we will have something at some point. You guys know how we do it, man. But yeah, thank you for tuning in as always. Hope you have a good week. Like us, share us, tell a friend, man.
Yes, rate it, review 5 stars.
Yeah, man. Have a good week, and we'll see you next week.